Thank you for being with us here today at the Covenant of Grace Prayer Line. We're continuing our study in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. And we're going to look at scriptures 11 through 20 of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and then hopefully move on to the first verse of Ecclesiastes and finish up this chapter today. But bear with me as we go through his word, because I want to share some intricate truths with you today. And I don't want to miss anything. And I want you to get it. And I want you to be able to take it into your inner man and to begin to explore what God wants to teach you from his word today. Now, still answering the question, what is good for a man in life? The teacher continues in a series of Proverbs here in chapter 7 at a point to address the superiority of wisdom, or consider the superiority of wisdom. Most people seem to think that if they suddenly came into a lot of money, their problems would be solved. Isn't that the truth? If you came up with a bunch of money, if you won the lottery, life would be good. Life would be great. There wouldn't be any problems. But there would still be problems. There would still be struggles. You've got to have wisdom in handling your finances. You've got to have wisdom considering the things you do. Because there's going to be a lot of voices clamoring. There's going to be a lot of things. There's going to be an appetite to grab hold of things that you might not have had before, because now you have the ability to attain so much. And a lot of people have wasted lives because of the money they've gathered has never really satisfied. And they continue and they try to live on that course, and then they run through it and it's gone. Money in and of itself is not a blessing. But wisdom that is granted in life, to be able to take that which we have, the knowledge we possess, the advisors we have, those around about us that can help us to better ascertain and to know how to live out our life, and to take that which we possess and have hold of in our lives and to utilize our skills correctly, is that which is more precious than anything else in this entire world, and helps us to attain the wisdom of God and apply things in the fluidity of the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to see our monies mean something, our gifts mean something, our possessions mean something, our lifestyle means something. The teacher says that wisdom is like an inheritance, and that it benefits whoever receives it. In fact, wisdom is better than shelter, than wealth, because it preserves the life of its possessor. That's in verse 12 of chapter 7. In short, the teacher said that if we seek the good life, we should pursue wisdom more than money. I ask you a question today. What are you pursuing? What are you pursuing? What is your modus operandi? What is it that you crave? What is it that you want? What is it that you desire to possess? Is it the wisdom of God? Is it the will of the Lord? Is it that those things would be honorable to the Lord, and that what you have will be blessed of God? Or is it selfish? Is it just temporary? Is it just that it will be fleeting and not build anything for the future? You need to consider those things. Ask yourself this. If I were to create a list of three things that would make up the good life, what would I include? Again, if I were to create a list of three things that make up the good life, what would I include? We need to get in the direction that God has for us to get into. That might not be perfect English, but it's right. We need to be able to pursue the things of God, and we need to get into the things that the Lord wants us to do, so that we can see the glory of God visit us. So we can see the victory of God in us, so that we can touch the lives of others, so that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 13 represents a slight shift in Solomon's advice on what is good for people. He introduces God into the equation. For the first time in chapter 7, he introduces God. Let's look at verse 13. Verse 13 of chapter 7. Consider God's work. Who can straighten what God has made crooked? When times are good, enjoy the good. When times are bad, consider God has made the former as well as the latter, so that people can't discover anything that will come to be after them. I have seen everything in my pointless lifetime. The righteous person may die in spite of their righteousness. Then again, the wicked may live long in spite of their wickedness. Don't be too righteous or too wise or you may be dumbfounded. Don't be too wicked and don't be a fool or you may die before your time. It's good that you take hold of one of these without letting go of the other, because the one who fears God will go forth with both. If you honor and respect the Lord, despite whatever, God will be with you. And you will have struggles. Life is not easy. Even if you're pursuing the things of God and you're in the pathway that God wants you, there's going to be stumbling blocks. There's going to be mountains in your way. Satan's not going to make it easy for you. Because he doesn't want you to touch a life. He doesn't want you to minister to someone. He doesn't want you to attain the good life. He wants you to get caught up in selfish living rather than godly living. Amen. The abundant life that he has promised. It isn't just all perfect, beautiful smelling roses. Attached to those roses are a few thorns. Amen. No me. Amen. God is wise. And he wants us to choose good things. And when God is put into the equation of our life, it changes everything. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, it changed everything. I was so excited when I first started going to a Sunday school and started to hear the Word of God the way I was. And it started to really take hold of me. And I actually memorized the scripture. If God be for us, who can be against us? I was so excited about that scripture from the book of Romans. I had catechism and I enjoyed catechism and I learned some great things, but I really didn't take hold of it the way I should have. And I could have learned a lot of neat things in catechism class in the Catholic Church, but I didn't really put myself to it. But somehow Jesus got a hold of me. Somehow the Holy Spirit started drawing me. It became my time. And I found myself taking hold of and loving the things of God. I love to worship. I love to sing. I love to praise him. I love to get a hold of him. I wanted to touch the hem of his garment. I wanted to see the glory of God. I began to know that I served a living God. And that began to change my life. Amen. He wasn't just an old man sitting on some throne up in glory that didn't pay attention to me. He had given me the Comforter. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit. He had given me hope. He showed me that there's more to life than just getting a job out of high school, then going to college or having a wife and family and just, you know, going on with things and, quote, having a life. But that there is something so much more, and it's in the bosom of his love, and he wants to share it with me through his wisdom, through his grace, through the plenitude power of his might. I've seen beauty in my children. I've seen grace in my wife. I've seen the purposes of God in so many things. I've seen my brother and sister and others doing certain things in life, and it's blessed my soul to hear what God has done for them. And I have seen people in the body of Christ and in the local church where I've seen the power and the gifts of God, and I'm excited. But I've also been there when they've gone through their sad times. I've also been there when I've gone through the hurtful times. I've also gone through the times where they've been so distracted by all the criticisms of life. Of those around about them, that they couldn't understand anything godly or the will of God or anything. And I helped them to just take a repose, just pause, and know that he is God. Know, just like Solomon, boom, I'm stopping it right now. I'm putting God in the equation. When you put God in the equation, it changes everything. It gives you hope. It gives you a purpose. It can give your life divine order. That's what God wants you to have, divine order. Satan has come to destroy, to deceive. Jesus has come that you might have life, that more abundantly. Jesus has come to break away the line of demarcation or separation between you and the Father's love, and to let you come forth into his presence and to see the victory of God, to love and know and honor the Lord, and to see the intimacy of God's love in your life. Each and every day. God does not, and I hope will not, be a stranger to you in your everyday living. And I pray that he comes alive to you in so many ways. I know sometimes it is difficult in this life, and people say and do things that cause such hurt in our lives. But if we keep our eyes upon the Lord, we can get through it. Look, if you will, with me, chapter 7, verse 19. Chapter 7, verse 19 of Ecclesiastes. Wisdom makes a wise person stronger than 10 rulers who are in a city. Remember, there's no one on earth so righteous as to do good only and never make a mistake. Don't worry about all the things people say, so you don't hear your servant cursing you. After all, you know that you often cursed others yourselves. A couple things here. Notice, okay, that we do make mistakes. People are going to criticize us. We will criticize others. And don't get caught up in it all. And don't curse yourself. You get caught up in cursing others. Bear witness of the Lord. You know, you're going to make mistakes. Even with wisdom, you're going to make mistakes. But if you gain the wisdom of God and take hold of the things of the Lord and learn how to apply the principles of godly living, the Lord is going to bless you. But where we make a mistake is where we just kind of do the things we want to do sometimes and lose the picture that God has. He has a plan. He has a plan. He has a helpmate for you. He has friends that he wants to put around about you. He has a pastor for you. He has a counselor for you. He has an opportunity for you. And you can get the wisdom of God and walk in that pursuit and see the will of God and meet that person and see the work of the Lord be done in your life. But you've got to be in a place where you understand, perceive the voice of the Lord, where you see what God wants and put yourself in a place where God can work in your lives. If you don't put yourself in a place where God can work with you, there's not much he can do. Don't get caught up in just going about in this world and being so busy that you don't take time to be holy, that you don't take time to allow his Holy Spirit to bathe you, that you don't take time. The other day, late at night, I had to just pray. I just had to see God. I felt a burden, and I did so. And I got a hold of someone to pray with me late at night, and God touched. I had the same burden in the morning. But you know something? The Lord wants us to be a prayerful people. He wants us to be a people called by his name. And we try to understand the voice of God. But this world is so busy. It's clamoring for our attention. From all sides. Social media, this, that, and everything else. Man, we are bombarded. Put on the filter of the Holy Spirit on your ears. Begin to shorten that group of influence when it comes to news, media, social systems, etc. And begin to allow yourself to have less talk and more immersing in what you know God wants you to hear and those who are good stewards of those things that they possess and teach. And those who give news out that is not bombarded with gossip and innuendo, but with wisdom and grace. Let us be careful. Let us have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Yeah, don't believe everything on the internet, guys. You'll be a fool if you do that. Wisdom. Amen. And don't believe everything you hear about yourself from other people. Hello? Hello? It's not always true. Some people just like to hurt you. Let the Lord build up your character. Not to react, not to overreact. Have a bit of a thick skin at times. Be patient. Because the Lord might have you to minister to that same one who's just talking behind your back so much right now. And you want to just waylay on him. But you could be the one God wants to use to see that person come to the Lord. Because the Lord wishes none to perish, but for all to have everlasting life. How about that? That's God's perspective on us. Aren't we fortunate? Aren't we fortunate? We need to gain his understanding. We need to gain his wisdom and see the whole picture much more clearly. Nothing in this life, in God's eyes, is so sickening or deplorable or bad that can't be resuscitated, cleansed, brought back to life. There's nothing too difficult for God to do. I've seen preachers shocked when certain people came into the church and got saved. Man alive, that guy, you know, he did everything in the world to cause me trouble and grief. And now look at this. Well, somebody took the time to minister to that person. Somebody took the time to plant a seed, and that life has been forever changed. Don't give up on me. I'm not giving up on you today, folks. Let's not give up on one another, and let's try to help and encourage one another and provoke one another to love one another. Amen? That's godly wisdom. That's in His Word. That's what God wants us to do. We can be deceived by so many people, and there are traps. And verse 26, and otherwise, through here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, talks about the traps of those who can be used to put us into shackles of sin or otherwise in life. Let's be careful, the voices we listen to. I remember a young preacher that I was trying to train for the ministry, and he'd been with me a couple of years, and he was doing great. But then this preacher got a hold of him who said this thing, that thing, and that, you know, hey, you know, your pastor isn't perfect and this and that and et cetera. And, you know, hey, you know, look at my ministry and this and that. Well, you know, and he decided to go on with that ministry. And I was sad because I felt like he had to be there, and he was doing great with the shepherd group. And he was, you know, young man who I thought would become a tremendous tool for God in the local assembly and ministering in his shepherd group. But he went on to do what he was going to do. And months later, his wife called me up and told me of the debacle of the whole situation, and that this guy had all these fancy words and everything else, but he really didn't care for them at all. He just wanted to use them. And they realized that this pastor had a heart of a shepherd. And they wished they were back here, but they had so invested so much money. And they came back to visit, never got reattached, but yet they found a place that they could be, that now they're walking with God and seeing the Lord minister. But you know something? When you're a young man, when you're a young preacher, when you're an individual that's looking for attention, sometimes you look in the wrong places, or somebody speaks to you those pretty, pretty little words, and you think, wow, yeah, that's for me. Be careful to know the voice of the Lord. Amen. And try to listen to His Holy Spirit and know that He is God. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know why I just went through that right now, but I felt led of the Holy Spirit to share that with you. So I did. I want you to be blessed. We here at Covenant of Grace Ministry want you to be blessed. In the Church of Jesus Christ, I want to see success in the whole body. And we need to gain wisdom and not hold back on God's grace. Amen. Let's pray one for another right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together in the Word. I pray that you would bless each and every one that has heard your word. I didn't go, Lord, in all the direction I wanted to, but I pray that what I've been able to convey is life. And I pray that those who receive it will receive life. And they would know that they are named more than conquerors through Christ. And that, Lord, they can take hold of the things of God and take on the armor of God, and they can go forth with the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the loins girt with truth, the feet shod with preparation of the gospel, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, the shield of faith, and quench every fiery dart of the wicked, and go forth in the things of God, and see the grace of God, and know that He is God, and possess those things that the Lord wants them to take possession of. Lord, I pray your blessing. I pray your touch, and I pray that they would have life in you, and they would flow with you and understand the bosom of the Father's love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today. I hope that God's word is an encouragement to you today. Thank you for being with us here on the Prayer Line.